Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've got Matt Hamacek in studio. He is director of the Dynasty New England Patriots on Apple TV+. The final two episodes, episodes 9 and 10, coming out on Friday. So we have 8 episodes out already on Apple TV+, and it is getting rave reviews. I did want to ask you, though, you know, Bill Simmons is one of these Boston guys, and his criticism was too much Robert Kraft, props up Robert Kraft too much was one of his criticisms. What's your response to that?
I don't see it. I think, like, look, the simplest way to describe it is, to me, is the proof's in the pudding, right? So the three biggest things you'd do if you were making, like, the Robert Kraft puff piece would basically be when Belichick left the Jets, a lot of people thought that he was essentially unhirable. There was some quote in some place that said, another owner said, I wouldn't trust him to run a Burger King restaurant. And Kraft sort of said, I'm not going to listen to this and I'm going to do what I think's best. And he made arguably the greatest, you know, sort of owner decision of all time. So that's number one. I would say the 2011 CBA agreement, you know, that Robert Kraft helped broker while his wife was unfortunately on her deathbed would be number two. And then getting into sort of all the things that he's done to the league to help make other owners money through the TV negotiations and stuff. Those would be the three things. If you were doing the Robert Kraft puff piece, that's what would be in, and none of those things are in. So that's sort of my response to that that statement.
You know, he is obviously a central figure because, you know, he talked about how he thought of Drew Bledsoe as a son.
Yeah.
Then Tommy became a son, and you got Bill Belichick trying to run a football team and trying to, I would imagine, trying to keep those players from going above the coach.
Not and above anybody.
To the owner.
Above anybody, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. No, I think, look, one of the things that interested me about Robert was when he started this whole thing, he was a fan first. You know, he was the guy in the bleachers that was thinking, like a lot of us all do when we're in the bleachers, thinking, hey, if I ran this team, I think I could do better, right? And he finally got it. And so he had an attachment to his players, obviously, but I think that they were a good counterbalance to each other. Belichick was the guy who would, you know, walk into the low light sessions and say, I can get the guy from Foxborough High School to throw a better pass than this to Tom Brady. But Kraft was put his arm around these guys and say, I love you, I care about you, you're one of my family, and things like that. So I think that was a really good counterbalance between ownership and coach for a guy like Tom Brady. I think that the other side of that that I found really interesting is that Brady and Belichick were good counterbalances for all the guys on the team. So when Belichick was the guy who was always pushing and pushing and pushing, you know, as Danny Amendola says, we worked for Bill, but we played for Tom. And I think a lot of people felt that Tom was the sort of the heart and soul of that team. And I think that was a perfect counterbalance for that culture.
At the end of the day, when you're done with all these interviews, did you have a better perspective as to why Tom Brady would want to leave and try to win a Super Bowl with another team?
Yeah, I think that the part of the story that we're at right now, which is, you know, after Deflategate, after Tom has over and over and over again been doubted and people have sort of written his obituary or tried to write it, like Max Kellerman saying that, he has fallen off of a cliff. You know, he's going to be a bum in short order.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. You know, and then the culture that Belichick created for a very, very long time, it worked really, really well. But at a certain point in time, when you're 40 something years old and you have 5 Super Bowls under your belt, there's a point at which, you know, you start to say, maybe not quite, I don't want to necessarily be part of this as much anymore, right? And I understand that. But I also understand Belichick's unwillingness to change, because why would he? It had kept producing results. And let's say he had, after the Falcons Super Bowl, changed and he started coddling Brady and giving him special privileges and making him into a star, well, would they have gotten the Rams Super Bowl at the end? I don't know. But I can also understand why that was grating. And eventually, you know, in episode 9, one of the journalists, Tom Curran, talks about how Brady changed after that, and he started to sort of all of his industry and the TB12 stuff and all of those things started
well,
to
Well, he also married a supermodel, for God's
but
sake.
But that had happened. That had happened in 2008. So that was already had happened for a long, long time.
And plus, he had kids.
He had kids. Right. Yeah, I mean, this is a 40-something-year-old guy,
yes.
Right? This is not a 20-year-old guy anymore. And he always did these team-friendly deals. He was always taking less money than other quarterbacks were. And all this stuff. And I think that what was interesting in episode 9, which is the one that's about to drop on Friday, episode 9 and 10, is that a lot of that tension was overlooked by a lot of people within the team, the players, because they kept winning, right? That Falcons Super Bowl, they won that year despite some stuff that was going on. And then I think that Eagles Super Bowl, when Malcolm Butler didn't play, then they
didn't. Did we ever get an answer as to why he didn't play?
I think you're going to get. I'll put it this way. We don't have a definitive answer, but Robert Kraft in his interview gives the biggest hint yet as to what he has heard is the reason that Malcolm Butler...
Can I tell you what I heard?
Okay, tell me what you heard.
I heard that Malcolm Butler basically went after one of the assistant coaches, and one of those assistant coaches happened to be Bill Belichick's son.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard every rumor under the sun,
okay.
Right? I've heard every single thing. I don't think anybody knows except for the people that were involved. And Malcolm to this day says that he doesn't know why. And there's been all sorts of reasons. There's been things that said that he got injured in practice and things like that, or that it was you know, whatever. The important thing to remember here is he didn't play a single defensive snap, but he did play in the Super Bowl. So all the people that say that it was for, you know, medical reasons or something like that, can't
That's
be true.
Crap,
it can't be true.
Because he was on special teams.
Because he was on special teams. He played one snap. And the thing that people have to remember was this wasn't a guy who played, you know, 20% of the snaps during the regular season. He played 98% of the snaps during the regular season. So the decision to not play him on the biggest stage and the biggest game, I think, is worth examining and asking questions about.
It had to be something like he went after a coach, and that is like, you know, breaking a rule that is just, you can't break that rule. That's what I was told.
No, but that's interesting, though, because, okay, so you look at what happened in this year's Super Bowl, right? With Travis Kelce.
Yes.
So what would have happened on the Patriots if something like that had happened? I'm not saying that you're right that that's what happened. I'm just asking the question. Like, you saw that on the sideline. What would the reaction have been on the Patriots system if something like that had happened?
Yeah, I was the only one that had a reaction at halftime of that game on the NFL Today, because I thought it was just absolutely absurd that Travis Kelce would do that to Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if that was Gronk doing it to Bill Belichick. What would have happened?
I don't think Gronk would have been back in the game. I'm serious.
Really?
I mean, Bill, the whole benching of Malcolm Butler just sort of tells you that something went on there that was a problem enough for him to take out one of his best defensive players in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the players, I think what you see and you hear all these players talk about it was, and Danny Amendola, as we show him walking off the field, going into the locker room, and he says, after I put everything on the line for that game, my body, my soul, everything, and to not even get an explanation as to why that didn't happen, he says, I feel like we got cheated, and I don't feel bad saying that. And then afterwards, there's a journalist, Nora Princiati, who at the time was with the Boston Globe but now works for The Ringer. You know, she talks about how it almost felt like there was a mutiny within the locker room after that moment, and I think that was a dividing moment. Now, I say that, but they went on and won another Super Bowl, you know, right afterwards. So it's like what makes this story so remarkable is that even when all of this stuff was happening, they were still winning Super Bowls. And again, we go back to this question of, well, you know, if you're Belichick, just change things up, you know, like, but he didn't, and they still won another Super Bowl. And I think that's what makes the story so fascinating to me is there's no easy answers here, right?
Right. Did you feel that Bill Belichick was accommodating, or was he stonewalling?
You mean when I was interviewing him?
Yes.
I think that I'll put it to you this way. This is what I think. When he wanted to talk about something, he talked about things. And when he didn't want to talk about something, he didn't talk about anything. So it's as simple as that. I think that, you know, when he talks about going up against Sean McVay in the Super Bowl, he was great. And by the way, that is probably one of the greatest, you know, Steve Young after this, that Super Bowl, because Sean McVay, remember that team? That was one of the greatest offenses we'd ever seen.
Yeah, and, but Sean McVay was also like goo-goo for Gaga when he was, you know, going against Belichick.
I think Belichick, I don't think that it was necessarily that Sean McVay got like tripped up by him and, mm-hmm. and was sort of in his aura as much as it was that Bill Belichick was just, you know, he was just two or three steps ahead of him. And so the what happened was, basically, the Patriots had played man defense the entire year, but when they were reviewing the tape of the Rams offense, they realized that when they played against zone, they didn't have as much success. And so they, in 2 weeks, Bill Belichick and the staff got their defense to completely change. They played like 98% man defense, and in 2 weeks, they got them to switch to zone. And it worked.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's kind of like what Bill Cowher did.
Yeah, Bill Cowher, yep, at the Seattle Super Bowl 40. Matt Hamacek, a couple more minutes with him in studio. He's the director of The Dynasty New England Patriots on Apple TV, plus the final two episodes, 9 and 10, coming out on Friday. I know it's good fodder for sports talk, but one of the topics that I hated that I'd hear up in Boston or national shows is who was the most responsible for the Dynasty? Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. It, to me, it's like a BLT, right? Like a BLT isn't a BLT without those three ingredients, and each of them serve a purpose. Did you come out of this saying that one man was more responsible for it than another?
So we just saw him on a TV screen a couple seconds ago, but I asked Scott Pioli about this in episode 10. It's one of my favorite lines in the entire series. I said, so Scott, who is more responsible, Bill or Tom? And he said, it's a disrespectful question. It's a disrespectful question to all of the players that over the years contributed to make this thing great. Everybody put, you know, sacrificed, their put their egos behind, all did what it took to get there. And the idea that it would just be a question about Tom or Bill is insulting to basically everybody else who came through the organization. I think that's right. That team won because everybody bought in and everybody gave up everything to get to the final goal.
Is it, you know, I think we're in the middle of another dynasty right now, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I feel like they do it differently, maybe because their quarterback is incredibly special, maybe because he's got the right coach, and they seem to have like there's not a love-hate relationship there. This is a loving relationship between player and quarterback. I don't necessarily know I could say that about Bill Belichick, but although Bill Belichick will tell you that Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback,
yeah, he says it all the time.
I mean, he does not, you know, walk away from fawning over his quarterback. He just never did it in front of his team, I guess.
Yeah, and I think I think that if you give Bill the benefit of the doubt, what you realize is that he has these principles, which is that it's always about the team. Nobody's ever bigger. So even when you see it in episode 8, after Tom mounts the 28-3 comeback against the Falcons, I think that the question that I asked him was, you know, tell me about how spectacular that was. And his response, it just so true to form. It's like he can't, he it's just who he is. He just says, well, Tom's performance is a result of all the other people around him, just like everybody else's is. And it's like, this is the greatest comeback in NFL history, if not sports history, right? On the biggest stage possible. And so, like I said, if you give him the benefit of the doubt, he's true to himself. He doesn't change. And that's it. And so, again, it's like, if you want him to be, if you want him to be different, then I think you're asking him to not be who, what made him great.
He's not complicated. He's very simple when you think about the way that he thinks the way a football team should be run.
Mm-hmm.
But he's very complicated when you're sitting down and you're talking to him and you're trying to get him to expand his thoughts, which for some reason he will not do unless you're talking about, like, you know, punting from the 1940s.
Yeah, but I think, but again, it gets back to this thing of, it's in the Spygate episode, you know, he that's a moment when Scott Pioli says that he sort of turned inward and sort of distanced himself from everybody around him. And I think then when you go back to his Cleveland days, when Bernie Kosar, you know, he benched, yep, Bernie Kosar. So the press asked him, why'd you do that? And he said it was because of a diminishing physical skills and things like that, right? Now, he was telling the truth, and he was probably right when he said that. But I think he got burned big time for being honest with the press. And at a certain point in time, I understand being in that position just saying, what good does it do me to say anything to anybody, right? I'm just going to go make the decisions that I think are best, and I'll sit here and do my, you know, mandated media appearances and blah, blah, blah. And then why would you say anything?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because Bernie Kosar was a hero to, you know, the Browns fans. And he was a local kid and everybody loved him. And that was a decision that ultimately cost him his job. You know, one other thing for me, and one final thing for me, was I really felt like when Deflategate hit, Belichick said, go ask Tom.
Yeah.
I have nothing to do with this. Go talk to the quarterback or whatever.
Right.
And I would imagine that put Tom right on, you know, on blast. Mm-hmm. And this is where Roger Goodell gets involved.
Yeah, well, I mean, Roger was involved, I think, fairly early on, as soon as the accusations were kind of, as soon as the balls, you know, right after the AFC Championship, yes, game in 2014. I think one of the things that was important to us is that story is obviously something that people talked about at the time, that, you know, people were saying that Bill threw Tom under the bus. I think the thing that we did when we told it was we wanted to make sure people understood why he did it, which was because it was an equipment violation, the assumption was that it was Bill Belichick, right? And so right after the story broke, everybody was saying, well, as Tom Curran says, if this is true, Bill's got to go and all this kind of stuff. And I think, because he had taken so many bullets for Spygate, I think when he got up there, he just was trying to basically say, this one's not on me. And I think if you're Tom Brady, I can imagine a world where you're thinking, man, I really feel like I just got thrown under the bus. And that's a normal human reaction. And I also understand exactly why Bill wanted to say, this one's not on me.
Got any more sports documentaries on tap coming up? What are you delving into next? So you need a break?
Nothing. I need a break. I need to see my family. I was running around all over the country interviewing all these guys for 2.5 years. So I just need to spend some time with the kids.
You know, I asked you this off the air, but I want to ask you on the air real quick.
Yeah.
A guy like you, documentaries, mm-hmm, you got all these different streaming services out there. This is obviously on Apple TV Plus. You got Netflix. You got Prime. You got all these different things. How does somebody like you pitch a project, or does the project get pitched to you?
On the last two things I've done, the projects got pitched to me. So I haven't had to go into these the pitch sessions yet. But, you know, in this case, Jeff Benedict, who wrote the book, he was the one who sort of went around to all the different...
He also wrote the book on Tiger.
Exactly. So, that's, yes, how we met each other. So I think, you know, in this one, he really went all over the place, sort of going to the different streamers and saying, this is going to be a great story, and, you know, do you want to get involved?
Which was more interesting in your eyes... The rise and fall of Tiger Woods, or the disintegration of what happened to the dynasty up there in New England?
I mean, you're asking me to pick between kids here. I can't. Look, they're different stories, right? Because in a lot of ways, the one about Tiger is much more about the external world doing something to Tiger, right? I think what made him so fascinating was he was always this blank canvas that everybody around him, his father, the public, PGA, everybody wanted to paint something onto Tiger and use him and have him be what they wanted him to be, right? And so that's what made that story fascinating. I think this story is an internal story about these people and how they interacted with each other and how they created something that probably will never be created again, and then how that thing fell apart.
Well, Kansas City's pretty close.
Yeah, we'll see. They could, the one thing that they can do that they that the Patriots obviously never got to do is three-peat. That's what we're going to see.
Matt Hamacek, director of The Dynasty, New England Patriots. Check it out, Apple TV+. The final two episodes will be available on Friday, episodes 9 and 10. Matt, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's great to see you again,
yeah,
Matt. Thanks so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.